You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge."
Yes.
Everybody say, "My people."
My people.
That's always significant to me because, you know, God really does want us to have peace. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to go to heaven. He wants everyone to go to heaven. But everybody doesn't go to heaven because everybody doesn't receive the gift, doesn't accept the offer of Jesus in their life. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Well, He made it available for everybody. I mean, He loves the harlot and the drunkards and the adulterers. Listen, the homosexual, if they'll get saved, now stay with me, if they'll repent. That's all sin. And we're not against people, but we're against sin.
Amen.
But if they'll repent, if they'll come, if they'll turn their life around, liars and gossipers and... Hello? Anybody sins. Sin, sin. But if you repent of sin and you come to Jesus, you forsake your sin and come to Jesus, I mean, He'll save you. He'll turn your life around, take you to heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's His will.
Yeah.
But the sad truth is there's more people go to hell than go to heaven. Not because God wants it that way. Not because He desires that. He wishes that none should perish, the Bible says. That all should come to eternal life. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But here's the condition. That whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life.
Woo!
Hallelujah. So when you make that change, you make that quality decision, you give up on yourself, you quit running. Because the hound of heaven is on your trail. And you give up, and you stop, and you say, "I'm done. I'm done with me. I'm going to Jesus." Hallelujah. And that point in time, when you come to Jesus with your whole heart and you call on Him, now at that point in time, you come into a contract and an agreement with God and you're saved and you've entered into His grace and His favor. Then you need to, you know, you need to follow through. You need to learn how to live the Christian life. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Get in the Word. Get a hold of the Word of God. Find out what the promises are, because my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Not the world. He said, "My people." We can be saved and going to heaven and living terrible lives, defeated lives. And we can tip the scales in our favor with the Word. You're never going to get rid of all pain, all tragedy, and all crisis. We live in a fallen world. Broken, fallen world. It's an old story. It's in the Bible. It's in Genesis. Adam sinned. When sin came in the world, death came.
That's right.
The world's been in a mess ever since. God's not responsible for everything that's going on in the world. In fact, most of what goes on in the world, God had nothing to do with at all. Most of what goes on in the world is in direct rebellion to God.
Yeah.
One day He'll come back and take it all over. He's given us that promise. He will do that. He is invading it little by little as you and I pray and live for God, stand up for Jesus. You know, we have an enemy, an adversary, the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that's not your mother-in-law. That went over real big. Or your son-in-law. Hello. Or your daughter-in-law. Or no, it's not people. There's spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, rulers of the darkness of this world, that influence people, influence you, and influence me, that we need to resist.
Yeah. Yep.
Woohoo!
Yes. Amen.
Y'all sound so excited tonight. I appreciate all this help I'm getting. Hallelujah. So what we want to do is find out what God says and go for it. Hallelujah. Possess the promises. That's what we taught on last week. And God wants you to possess the promises. He wants you to take the land of Canaan, the promised land that He's given you. It's an inheritance that He's offered, that Jesus shed blood for, that paid for. But you and I have to aggressively pursue and possess by faith. We have to stand up in the face of opposition, because there will be opposition. In the face of doubts, doubts will come. Come on. I don't care what you do, doubts will come. You've got to stand your ground on the Word and say, "Well, I know what the Word says, and I'm going to make my stand. I'm drawing the line in the sand. This is it. I'm going to serve God. I don't know about everybody else. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Hallelujah.
Amen.
And as for me and my house, we're going to possess the promises. We're going to take Jericho and Ai and city after city that He has promised us. An inheritance that He has given us. Hey, you can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Don't buy the lie that you can't, that you're doomed to suffer this thing all your life, this addiction, this sin, or this depression, or whatever the case may be. That is not your destiny. God wants you to come out of the wilderness of your pain, cross over the land of Jordan, and walk into the land of promises, the promised land. Hallelujah. Amen? So, to do that, we believe. That's how we got saved. That's how we received the offer of salvation, is we called Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus,
that's right,
and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you would be saved. 10th verse says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we believe unto and confess unto.
Yes, that's right.
So watch what you believe in and watch what you confess it. Amen?
Amen.
What should I believe? What should I confess? Well, believe the Word and confess the Word. Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. You say, well, what's y'all's doctrine? Well, it's real simple. It's called the Bible. Just go home, read it. You know, we thank God for a lot of churches. There's churches all around this community worshiping God. I know we've got different labels. This is International Outreach Church. First Baptist is meeting, tonight, and Calvary Baptist and First Assembly. And there's a lot of great churches. I'm going to miss some if I keep naming. Goodness, there are all kinds of great churches. But the name Jesus is the one that's above them all. Amen. And our doctrine, as they would say, and rightly so, is the Word. We should get to the Word and find out what the Word says. I know you're wondering, when are we going to get there? I'm going to get there in a minute. Treading water right now, hallelujah. Just laying a foundation here. We talked about possessing the promises last week. And the week before that, we talked about the land of Canaan, Numbers, the 13th chapter, where the 12 spies went out and came back. 10 came with a bad report, 2 came with a good. And the good report was a report of faith. It was just a report of, hey, I believe what God said.
Yeah.
Wasn't any big deal, wasn't complicated. They weren't rocket scientists. They just said, hey, you know what? God said it, we believe it. The bad report says, well, I know what God said, but.
Yeah.
That's always an evil report whenever you put a but on the end of God's Word.
Yeah.
When you put a question mark where God puts a period.
Wow. Amen.
Hello. I mean, God said it. That's enough. Ought to be enough right there. Let's just go do it. We're well able to overcome. Let us go up at once and possess it. That's what Caleb said, Numbers 13, verse 30. In the 14th chapter, of course, the Israelites just all got in sin and rebelled, and only Joshua and Caleb stood in faith, and you know what happened. You know the story. God was not real pleased with that. That whole generation died in the wilderness. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness because of their unbelief. Hebrews the 3rd chapter talks about it and says, because of their unbelief. Well, I don't want to be there. How about you? I don't want to wander around in the wilderness of my pain, the wilderness of addiction, the wilderness of sin, the wilderness of bitterness, the wilderness of anger, the wilderness of sickness, or whatever the case may be. I don't want to wander around in that wilderness because of unbelief. I want to get in here and get in faith. Hallelujah. Serve God. I don't want a wilderness of a marriage. I want a Canaan land marriage.
Amen. That's good.
Woo! And you do have a marriage of your own making.
Amen.
That went over real big. Hallelujah. I'm not addressing the past. The past is over. But wherever you are right now, whoever you're married to right now, you're stuck.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo! You might as well make the best of it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
If you can. It's not just might as well. You can do it. Amen?
Amen.
That's the good news. Turn to 1 Timothy 6. I know how I am. If I start reviewing, I'll be going for another 30 minutes reviewing. By taking possession of the land. See, the land we've been given has been given to us to possess. These promises that God has made, He has made for us to walk in. I think that's an element we often lose or miss out on. We're waiting around for God to do something. God's waiting around for us to do something.
Amen.
We're hoping God will show up, and God's already there. I mean, He's He's waiting for us to call. He's waiting for us to stand on His Word. He's waiting for us to pray. How long are you going to put up with it? That's the question. How long will you neglect to go in and possess the land? That's what Joshua told the Israelites. They had neglected to possess. In the book of Joshua, they didn't fully possess it. And it's interesting, he said, how long will you neglect to possess the land?
Wow.
So I don't want to do that. If God made a promise, I want to go for it. I want to pursue it. You get in life what you pursue, what you're thinking of passionately all the time, you know, where your head is. You know, you're headed where your head is. I mean, come on. That's why you need to renew your mind with the Word of God, or you will buy the lie. We are inundated with news constantly, day in and day out, on the newspaper and on the news channels. And, you know, it's nothing, not a lot of hope out there in the natural. But our hope is in God.
Yes, right.
And in God, we do have a hope and a future and a destiny.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going for it.
Yes. That's right. Me too.
Three of y'all are. That's good. I'm glad. Notice what 1 Timothy 6 says. Talking about faith or believing God, that's what we're talking about. And you can all do it. We can all do it. It's not some special gift. Everybody has faith that's born again. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Romans 12 chapter tells us that. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we all have in the same spirit of faith. Paul speaking, he says, we all have in the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. That's faith. Faith's real simple. It's according to what's written. It's believed and it's spoken. Yeah. And obviously, you could go a step further. It's lived out or acted on.
Right.
You know, Peter said, to those who have obtained like precious faith. So he assumed that the Christian world, the church world, had faith. We all have faith. We don't come to church. Listen, I don't come to church to find out if I can believe. I come to church to find out what I believe. I am a believer. That's what you are. I hope you are. If you've accepted Jesus, you are a believer. So we get in the Word and we find out what we believe. But believing, we do that. That's what we are. That's what separates us from the world. They're in unbelief. We're in belief. We're in faith. We believe in Jesus. They don't. It's not a moral line. Although I believe you should live holy. I believe as Christians we have an obligation, responsibility, and a right. Are you with me? We should live holy. But what saves me was my faith in Jesus. So what separates me from the world is not that I'm living better than they are, holier than they are. I should be living holy. But what separates me from them is I believe in Jesus. Are you with me? And they do not. So we're the household of faith. That's what the Bible calls us. This is the faith. Christianity some 30 times in the New Testament is called the faith. We need to examine ourselves. Will we be in the faith or not? And when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Isn't that amazing he said that? He didn't say, will I find, food banks? Or we got a food bank, thank God, for all that we're doing. But that's just a product of our faith. We just believe that that's the right thing to do. Of all things he could have mentioned, he's looking for faith.
Amen. That's right. Yep.
People who trust him, who believe him, who really turn their lives over to him, who live their lives trusting the Lord, believing the Lord. Their marriages, their children, hallelujah. Their business, their future. I don't know about you, but I've staked my whole future on this.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
And if I trust Him for eternity, surely I can trust Him for today.
Mm, that's good.
Amen. If I trust Him for eternity, surely I can believe God for a hamburger.
Wow. Yes.
Okay. All right. And I shouldn't have said that because y'all be hungry now.
We have pizza.
No, that's right. You had pizza tonight. That's right. Everybody had pizza.
Amen.
Okay. Better watch those dreams y'all have tonight. But anyway. 6th chapter of 1 Timothy. Are you out there?
Yes.
Okay, well, tell your face. 1 Timothy 6, 12. I feel a little ornery. Y'all excuse me. You got to forgive me.
Yeah.
I love you. You know that. We're in this together. Help me. Help me. Okay. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Ain't that interesting way to say that? He didn't say just believe. He said fight the good fight of faith. So faith is a fight.
Yeah.
Hey, if you decide you're going to believe God, you better get ready. There's a fight coming. There's an enemy out there. There's opposition out there. And I can tell you right now, in this world that we live in, if you stand up for Jesus, you better be ready to do battle. Okay? Because you're going to get persecuted. You're going to get made fun of. I mean, the world that we live in as a whole, I'm not against people. I'm just saying the spirit of this world, according to the Scripture, and just according to common sense, all you do is walk around a little bit and figure this out. The world does not serve God. The world is not for God. They don't stand up for God. I mean, we live in a society where, you know, they'll defend freedom of speech to say the most ungodly, filthy, perverted things. But as soon as you say Jesus, all of a sudden say, oh, we can't do that. Hello. What is wrong with that picture? I mean, every Supreme Court, all of them will stand up and defend anybody's right to say the most perverted things. But we can't say Jesus? We can't pray at school? Are you out there, somebody? But I see, we got to stand up. We got to fight. Amen. And it's no different with the promises of God. You have to stand on them and you have to fight. They don't just fall in your lap. You know, we have to be aggressive in our faith, passionate in our faith. People that got miracles from God in the Bible, or people that were passionate, they were aggressive, they were forceful. They did things like take the roof off and came down. Let their friends down through the roof to get to Jesus. Those are the kind of things that they did. They cried out and hollered loudly when people told them to be quiet. And it says they cried out all the more. The blind Bartimaeus, we have that story where he cried all the more. He would not be quiet. He would not be denied. Are you with me? There's a passion. There's a forcefulness there if we determine we're going to believe God. See, this is life and death in many cases. We need to get serious about this. This is our children we're talking about. This is the future of our marriage. This is the future of the church, as it were. Somebody's got to stand. Somebody's got to say, no, this is it. I'm done. I'm going to believe God. I'm not going to let the devil keep stealing from me. Jesus said it, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he also said, but I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. So as you pursue him and you aggressively press into the things of God, I have flippantly prayed about all kinds of things and got nothing. How about you? Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Didn't like it, sold the t-shirt, got rid of it. But I'll tell you, when I've been aggressive, when I've been passionate, when I've been serious, when I said, no, 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 devil, you're not going to do that no more. The Bible says this, I am going to make my stand. Those are the times that I got answers to prayers. There was a seriousness, there was a passion, there was a fire there. Am I saying that every time you ever pray, the promise you'll always get an answer? No, because you're not always going to be in faith. And I hadn't been either. And there's lots of times I hadn't been, and I'd freely admit that. But I will not stand up here and tell you God lied.
That's right.
And that for whatever reason God decided, I know it's in the Word and He says it, whatever reason He decided not to give it to you, I don't see that in the Bible. That's logic, that's man talking, but that's not Bible talk.
That's right.
Jesus never turned anybody away.
Right.
I can live with me missing it. I've missed it lots of times. How about you? Would you join me and say, you're not perfect? I'm not perfect. I can live with that. But God changing His mind constantly? Saying one thing and doing another? Oh, I know he says that, but he really didn't mean that. Well, how do we know we're saved? How do we know we're going to heaven? How do we know Jesus really died for our sins? I believe John 3:16 is true. Romans 10:9 is true.
Amen.
I believe that if I confess in my mouth and believe in my heart God raised from the dead, he shall be saved. I also believe 1 Peter 2:24 is true, that by his stripes we're healed. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right.
Woo!
That's good.
I just preach myself happy, y'all. Just... But you got to fight. So you got to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life, it says, whereunto thou hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I love that. That's a confession. Everybody say confession.
Confession.
Where he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life, where you also are called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of, or before many witnesses. I'm reading New King James and quoting King James. Stay with me. A profession is a confession. That's just a Greek word, homologia. It means to say the same thing. So you have said the same thing God has said. Let's don't let that slip. Let's take hold of what we have said that God has said. Let's take a hold of what we have confessed from God's Word and said the same thing as He has said. When the world said something else, when our body told us something else, when our mind was screaming something else, we decided to say the same thing God said. Woo!
Amen.
Y'all getting this?
Yes.
You have professed a good profession. You have confessed a good confession. Now let's take hold of this. I love that. Let's fight. Let's stand. There is an aggressiveness. Christianity is not a passive belief or a faith. It's a very aggressive faith.
Come
it's
on,
a very forceful faith.
Come on,
I mean, we're not out like the Muslim faith killing people because they don't believe. Jesus would never do that. But we're forceful with the devil. We're not forceful with each other. We're not overruling and ruling over each other. But we do rule over the devil. If we submit to God and resist the devil, he'll flee from us, the Bible says.
Right.
Amen.
Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. So we got power over the enemy, we're just not using it.
Yeah, that's right.
We're losing by default. Either the devil's convinced us that he doesn't exist, or he's convinced us there's nothing really we can do about the problems and the ills and the chills of life. You know, this is the big lie that the Christian church, most of the Christian church has bought, is that every time something happens that it was God. And the only problem with that is the Bible doesn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says the devil does things, then God does things, then you do things. You know, so there's God, the devil, and there's you. Okay. We got to fight.
Amen.
We can't win this by not fighting. We can only win it by fighting. You got to fight for your marriage. You got to fight for your children. You got to get on your knees and pray and believe God. You know, you stand in faith. Teach them the Word. Live the Word in front of them. Preach the Word to them. Hallelujah. And, you know, when you walk out of here, live the Word when you walk out of here. Hallelujah. Actually be a person that does what He says. You know, and I believe we are those people. Amen. Hallelujah. Fight. Everybody say fight.
Fight.
That Greek word, we get the word agony from that word. The agony of defeat. You know, we all hear that. To agonize. That's what the Greek word is. Agonizomai. Or can't pronounce the thing because I'm from East Texas. Greek never did come out right with my lips. But we get the word agony from that. It means to struggle. It means to contend is what it means. In fact, the Thayer's Greek lexicon of this word, I looked it up, and it's used many times. And here, where it says fight the good fight of faith, four definitions it has in the Greek lexicon. It says to enter a contest, to contend in the gymnastic games. Number two is to contend with adversaries, to fight. Number three is to contend, to struggle with difficulties, dangers, antagonistic to the gospel. Number four is to endeavor with strenuous zeal, strive to obtain something. I love that. When you decide you're going to believe God, you are entering into the fray. You're entering into a fight. It's over as far as God's concerned, I believe, when you stand on the promise and you believe God. But from the time you believe, till it's manifested, till it comes to pass, that may be overnight, that may be days, weeks, I don't know. There's a fight going on. There's a battle going on of doubt and unbelief. And one crisis after another trying to knock you off the Word, keep you from believing. The devil will come immediately to steal the Word that you have believed on. It may look worse the next day after you believed. Hello. But stay in the fight. Don't throw the towel in. Let's go the full fight. Let's don't just jump out the first round, the second round, third round. Let's stay in the fight. We win this deal. Amen. We'll have to struggle sometimes and agonize sometimes. That's okay. I don't necessarily like to fight, but that's how you get stuff, is fight. You have to fight to get it. You have to live a disciplined life. That's a fight. Are you with me? You have to watch what you say. You got to watch that mouth. Hello. You've entered into a fight here. You got to hold up the weapons. You got to hold up. You got to load up the ammunition. You got to point. You got to shoot. You get in a battle, you just can't hide in a bunker. You're not going to gain any ground that way. You're just trying to hold what you got, not doing a good job of that if you're just hiding in a bunker. If you're fighting, you're aggressive. You're looking for the enemy. When those doubts rise up, you fire away. No! When the feeling comes that you're not going to make it, you say, "Yes, I am." The Bible says this. You fight, you contend. You throw a right, you throw a left, you throw a hook, you straight jab. Are you with me? You stay in there. These are analogies, of course, the Bible uses over and over about soldiering and fighting. And we're believing God.
Yeah.
Are you with me? We're trusting God here. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
And God will strengthen you. See, that's the good news. Is it's not just your force of will. It's not just your mind over matter. No, this is not that. No. No, this is God empowering you. This is God strengthening you. This is you doing all things through Christ who strengthens you. This is being more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. This is Him giving us the victory through Christ Jesus. This is Him causing us to triumph through Christ.
Yes.
This is greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world.
Yes.
You have overcome them, little children, for greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. That's what we're talking about. This is being strong in the Lord and the power of His might. This is making a stand and letting God arise and let His enemies be scattered. This is stepping out there. You make one step, He'll make two. It is amazing what the Lord will do. Y'all remember that old song? And walking by faith, not by sight. Y'all remember that song, don't you? Let's see. You may be down today, but help is on the way. Dark clouds may dim your sky, but He'll answer you by and by. You make one step, He'll make two. It is amazing what the Lord will do. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread.
Amen.
Y'all remember that song? Okay, well, wasted that one on you. It's got Scripture in it.
We know it now.
You know, come on, sing it with me. Come on. Knows it now. Yeah. Well, hey, you may be down today, but help's on the way. Dark clouds, they may dim your sky, but he'll answer you by and by. You make one step. You step out there. Come on now. Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you, is what James says. You make one step. He'll make two. It is amazing what the Lord will do. You know, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread. Okay. All right. I feel like I'm American Idol. I'm the only one that likes it. Everybody's going, get another job. But anyway, I'm enjoying it. That's all that matters. I'm happy. Leave me in my ignorance over here. Okay. We are to fight. We're to struggle. We're to contend. Are you with me for the faith? You want to believe God? You want to trust God? I think you ought to. I believe everybody ought to do it. But Amen. Know this. It's going to be a battle. Hey, but know this. God's going to help you. Amen. That's the good news. And you don't know this. You're going to win. If you decide to do this, you will win. You definitely will win. May not happen overnight, but I tell you what, you hang in there, you'll win. You may have to struggle. That's okay. You agonize, and as it were, you contend, you fight. You know, you make your stand. Doubts are going to come. People are going to make fun of you. That's okay. They make fun of you no matter what you do. Doubts come no matter what you do. Might as well be standing on the truth, the Word of God, amen, and fighting for the right cause. Hallelujah, because you win this deal if you get in this fight. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, lay hold on eternal life. I love that. Lay hold. The New Living Translation, the 1996 edition. I had to say that because I think they come out with another edition that says it a little differently. But not the Living Bible, but the New Living Translation. A little different than the paraphrase. Y'all got all that written down now, right? Yeah. Just share that with somebody. They'll get saved just knowing that. I mean, just... Okay, the 1996 edition. It says, fight the good fight for what we believe. I like that. That's good. Because we fight the good fight of faith. Of course, our faith, the faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We know that in a general sense, but also that is also true concerning all the other promises of God that He's made. Any promise that we're standing on, any prayer that we've prayed, we've got to fight the good fight of faith for what we believe. If we're going to believe, we're going to have to fight for it. Are your children worth fighting for? I believe they are. Is your marriage worth fighting for? I believe it is. Is your sanity and peace of mind worth it? Yeah, I believe it is. Jesus paid the price, shed blood for you, that you might have a good life, that you might live forever. Let's don't let that be in vain. Let's stand up. Amen? And let's be counted. So it says here, fight the good fight for what we believe. Hold tightly to the eternal life that God has given you. I love that. We ought to hold tightly. Did you know there's a devil trying to steal our stuff? We may say, well, I'm just kind of neutral. Well, you know, you're going to lose what you got if you're neutral, because the devil is aggressive and he's going to try to steal your stuff. He'll try to steal your marriage. He'll try to steal your children, try to steal your health and so on and so forth. You know, we got to hold this to some degree. I mean, we'll fight sickness. We'll go to doctors and we'll take medicine. Thank God for doctors and medicine. We are for that and surgery. We pray all the time, you know, they're successful. But there's something underlying that I think we miss sometimes. Notice how aggressive we are and how passionate we are to pursue health, because it's not right that you're sick. Like, it's not right that you have this disease. It's not right. There's surgery that can fix this. There's medicine you can take to take care of this. Are you with me? See, we know more than we think we do. We're not supposed to be that way.
That's right.
And you know, in heaven, there's no sickness
right.
in heaven.
That's right.
There's nobody sick in heaven. Sickness wasn't God's plan. That was the result of sin. Not yours. I'm talking about the sin of Adam. The whole world lies in wickedness, and we're reaping the result of that. And we fight those kinds of things, and rightly so, we should. But it's amazing how we kind of lay down spiritually or prayerfully or lay down in faith, we lay our faith down, and we're not pursuing it by faith. We're not praying.
Yes.
Are you with me? I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. I'm saying you ought to pray when you go to the doctor. You ought to believe God when you take that medicine. Are you out there? Oh, well, I'd never do that. I mean, God may not want me well. Well, why are you spending all that money trying to get out of the will of God?
Right.
Woo! If God doesn't want you well, don't go to the hospital. Don't have that surgery. God may want you sick. He may be trying to teach you something. Is that in the Bible? Where does the Bible say that? I mean, Jesus never turned anybody down. He didn't say, well, I'd like to heal you, but you see, you got some problems here. You got some character issues God trying to work out here. Well, I had no doubt we got character issues we need to work out, but I mean, sickness doesn't work it out, I can tell you that. I've seen sickness make people bitter, make them worse. I've seen death in a family drive people away from God, not to God. That can work either way. I mean, the devil plays, he rolls the dice when he does something to us. He's hoping we'll curse God. The problem is, in many cases, people do cry out to God and call out on God, and God has the ability to take something bad and turn it around for good for those that love the Lord, and thank God he does. He can turn around for good what the devil means for evil. But let's don't get confused. God's not doing the evil and then doing the good. He didn't break your leg and then heal it, you know. Jesus didn't heal anybody that God made sick. He healed those who were oppressed of the devil, Acts 10:38 says. Hallelujah. Okay. So, we want to hold tightly, amen, to the promises of God, because there's a thief out there. There's a war going on in the world for your soul, for your family, for your children. And we need to enter the fight of faith. It's a fight of faith. That's what's so good about it. It's not complicated. It's just whether you're going to trust God or not. You don't have to know 1,000 things. All you got to know is God said this, and we're going to believe this. God, I take you at your word. I know you love me. You're for me. You're not against me. I'm just going to stay in faith here. I'm going to keep believing you. I don't know how you're going to do it. Don't worry about the how. All you need to know is the who, not the how. If you know the who, he'll take care of the how. But how? Well, I don't know how. God's got a million ways of making it happen. I'm just trusting him. Amen. Well, I don't see how. See, there you go again. You're getting on that how again. It's not how, it's who.
That's right.
With God, nothing is impossible. Right. And Jesus said in Mark 9:23, he said this. He said, nothing is impossible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believe it. Wow. That's good stuff. So I need to get my attention on him, amen, my focus on him and my faith in him, and quit looking at all the peripherals. Jobs, well, they come and go. You know, if I lose one, God will get me another one. In the name of Jesus, we'll pray. But let's trust God, not job. Let's trust God, not government. Are you out there? Let's trust God, not OPEC. Let's trust God. The Lord is my shepherd, my provider. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me by the still waters. He restores my soul and leads me to the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. They're all fighting and fussing and going under, and I'm eating good at the table.
Amen.
I'm going to make it. Somehow, some way, he's going to help me make it. Yeah. Amen. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen. That's what God says. Now, you can make a choice whether you believe that or not. That's what God says. So we want to lay hold. I like that word in the Greek, too. Not that you would be able to pronounce it, but I'm going to define it for you. It's lami banomi. Yeah, that's what it is. But what it means is this, is to take, to lay hold of, to take possession of, to overtake, to attain to. To lay hold of or to seize upon anything with the hands, or drawn from laying hold of another to rescue from peril, to help and to succor or to help. That's what he's talking about. So that's what he's telling us. He says we need to fight. We need to struggle. We need to contend for in faith. Fight the good fight of faith. And lay hold on what God has laid hold upon for us. What Jesus attained for us. Turn over to Hebrews 4. Give me a few more minutes here. Hallelujah. Y'all took up all my time on those verse, that one verse. Hebrews 4. I love this because this is, the third chapter is recounting what happened in the wilderness when the children of Israel, you know the story, you know, take another lap around Mount Sinai. For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness because they did not believe God. Because they said they could not have what God said they could have. Because they said they were not who God said they were. And because they said that they could not do what God said they could do. Real simple. You know, either you make a stand, you can do what God says you can do, or you say you can't do what God says you can do. You make a stand that you can have what God says you can have, or you make a stand and say, I can't have what God says I can have.
Right.
My job as a minister is not to stand up here and tell you you can't have. I'm not one of those bringing you an evil report. My job as a minister is like a Joshua or a Caleb to tell you, we are well able to possess the land. Let's go in and possess it. These are the promises. God made them to you. He didn't lie. He meant it when He said it. And if you're willing to pay the price, if you're willing to pursue this, if you're willing to come in faith, if you're willing to give it all you got, if you want to come in here with passion, you want to come in here with faith, you want to come in here aggressively, and you're willing to not be denied and you will not let go, God will do what He says.
Amen.
That's my job. Let's point you to Him. Amen. And tell you He means it when He says it. He loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. Are you with me? He believes in you when you don't even believe in Him. He has more passion and compassion for you than you do for Him. He loves you more than you love Him. He's the best daddy you ever had. You never had a daddy as good as this, and I hope you had a good one. But you never had a daddy as good as God, your Father. Your Father in heaven loves you more than any father you ever had on this earth, and I hope you had a good one, because that'll just give you an idea of how much more God loves you. He'll do anything for you. He did everything for you. He moved heaven and earth to send Jesus down here to die for your sins because He loved you so much. You say, well, why am I having all this pain, all this trouble? Well, we live in a broken world, in a fallen world. Call on Him in the time of need. Call unto Me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. That's what the Bible says. I believe that. Well, doesn't He care? What do you mean, does He care? He cared 2,000 years ago. He came and died for your sins and took stripes on His back that you may be healed. He cared for you before you were ever born. Hallelujah. He took your need on Him and met your need in Jesus Christ before you ever had a need. No, He cares. He cares. You know, I think of Mark 9. Remember that man had a son that was possessed, and Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And they came off the mountain, and the disciples ran up to Him and said, this man has a son demon possessed. We tried to cast him out, and we couldn't. And Jesus said, oh, faithless generation, bring him to Me. And the father said, well, sometimes the devil throws him in the fire and out of the fire. And he said something to Jesus is amazing. The father said, Lord, if you have compassion, if you can do anything, help my son. And Jesus rebuked him. Go read it. It's right there in the Bible. In fact, I just quoted the verse, Mark 9:23. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus is waiting for this man to believe. Compassion? Are you kidding? Jesus has compassion. Care? Of course He cares. But we have to call. And the man got it. He took it. I love that. Because it says he fell down and he says, Lord, help my unbelief. He understood that it wasn't a matter of God's mercy and God's compassion. God was merciful. God was compassionate. If the man could believe, he could get a miracle for his son. That's a theme you see all through the Scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Jesus would say things like that. Or, thy faith hath made thee whole. As you have believed, so be it unto you.
Praise God.
He said, well, I don't think that's right. Well, how'd you get saved? I don't know how you got saved, but I called on Jesus. That's how I got saved. I didn't save myself, but I believed what He did.
Praise God.
My faith was not the cause, but it was the condition. Hello. He was the cause. His death, burial, and resurrection was the cause of my salvation. But the condition was my faith. Okay. Y'all found Hebrews 4?
Yes.
Man. Y'all are taking way too much of my time. Okay, the children of Israel, you know, they got in sin, they didn't believe, they wandered, they perished, and then goes on and says the fourth chapter of Hebrews, the first verse, therefore since a promise remains of entering into His rest, I think King James says, let us therefore fear lest a promise entering into His rest, any of you seem to come short of it. Therefore, in light of that example, you read that, you know about that. You know, the wilderness experience took place over there in Numbers where they sinned against God, Numbers 13. And they brought the wrath of God down upon them in Numbers 14. It was their sin that brought it. It was judgment on their unbelief. God's not arbitrarily out here doing things like that. I mean, our judgment comes because we don't believe. And they perished. You know, it's all in the Bible. It's there. And He says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left to enter into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. That's a funny way to say it, isn't it? I mean, come on. I thought God's promises are unconditional. Well, wait a minute. You know, the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, the Bible says there are conditions. Even salvation has a condition. You have to believe. Isn't that right? So you come short of a promise, or I come short of a promise. I've come short many a time. Come on, would you join me?
Yes.
We've all done it. But I want to quit coming short of the promise.
Yeah.
Yes. In other words, it costs 50 cents, I got a quarter. Come on, that's short. You're short 25 cents. I used to say that back before I got saved. You know, life's a magazine, costs 50 cents, and I got a quarter. That's life. Anyway, just forget that. But anyway, why would I come short of a promise? How can I come short of a promise? God's promise, it's right here. He made it to us. It's for everybody. It's on the table. And all of a sudden, Tommy comes short. Melissa has what it takes. Just as an example, okay? Don't want anything to happen to this marriage or you'll stay. Okay, all right, you're secure. Okay, good. Why? Why would anybody come short? Next verse, second verse. It says, for the word, the gospel, the good news, indeed the gospel was preached to them, children of the wilderness, as well as unto us. But the word did not profit them. Not being mixed, you know what it says? Mm-hmm. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. That's good. I love that. See, it's not, I'm not just trying to be a word bird here, okay? Just word. I'm big on the word. I love the word. Preach the word. Teach the word. But it's no good if I don't believe it. You can quote it. I can quote it. But if I don't believe it, it's no good. It doesn't profit us. It's there, but it doesn't profit without faith being mixed into it. You know, I had two families in the church. One in particular went over to another family's church house. There's two families in the church. They all came to the same church. Went to another. I'm trying to keep the names out of this, okay? Went to another family, and they had they ate with them. They had supper with them. And the one family, this one lady had made lemon pie. And you know how lemon pie, you know, your mouth's doing that just thinking about it. I mean, just, well, she had forgotten to put the sugar in the lemon pie. Now, if you can imagine lemon pie, how you know how that is, and take the sugar out. Fuck her up. But anyway, I thought about that, and they laughed about that. They were laughing about how she just forgot to put it in. They started tasting it, and everybody was just puckering up. And, you know, I thought that lemon pie did not profit them not being mixed with sugar in them that ate it.
That's right.
Without the sugar, you couldn't eat it. Well, that's the way the word is. If you want to put sugar on the word, you want to put some sugar on this? Oh, come on now. You want this to take, you having trouble with the word? I know how you can sweeten it up a little. Mix some faith in it.
Wow.
And it tastes good. And it'll profit you. You can get it in you. You're just choking on it when you're not believing. You're choking on it when you're just reading it. It's not getting it. It's not benefiting you. You're not getting any benefit from it at all. But if you'll put faith and mix it all in there, just mix that faith in there. I believe that. Oh, man, look at, did you see that? Man, I didn't know that was in there. That's awesome. I believe the word. I believe that for me. I'm going to believe that for my family, for my marriage. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to mix some faith in it. Then it will profit you because it is the fight of faith that we fight. And if we're going to take hold of these promises, lay hold upon what we believe, we're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Man, I had so many more scriptures I wanted to get to. We'll have to carry this on. But let's read it again. It says, for indeed the good news was preached to them as well as unto us, but the word preach did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Yeah, it doesn't matter how good I preach, you know. If you don't mix faith in it, it's not going to help you. It really is not going to help you at all. It doesn't matter how eloquent I am, how slick, how smooth, you know, how good looking I am. Now, I know that. I mean, you don't want to say that. It's the word that's going to help you, but only if you believe it. Isn't that right? So every time we come to church, you know what? I'll bring the word. You bring the faith. Let's mix it all together here. Let's just mix it all up, and it's good stuff, man. And let's fight for the fight of faith. Let's bring our faith. Let's believe. Let's trust God. When we read this, we go, you know what? I believe that for my family. I believe that for me. Because Jesus is not just Lord. He can't be just Lord. He's got to be your Lord.
Amen.
Jesus can't be just Savior. He has to be your Savior.
That's right. Amen. That's good.
Hello? You got to make it personal. The Lord is not, David didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd.
Yeah.
So you got to grab that. You got to put faith in that. I'm telling you, I'm throwing in. I'm going all the way. How about you? I'm going to go all the way with this. I'm going to believe God, trust God. I'm going to turn my family over to Him, my life over to Him, my business over to Him, church over to Him, my mind over to Him, my future over to Him. I'm going to turn it over to the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. And trust Him. It'll help you make it through the rough times and help you win when it's all said and done. And you'll have a whole lot more fun living this life. Amen?
Amen.
Contending, fighting, struggling for the faith.